All right. Well, welcome everybody to Jammies and Jewelry on August 29th. This is Barbara. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me tell you, we are in for a treat tonight because the actual Glenn House is with us tonight of the original House SLP software that is a family-owned business and partner with Premier in providing us an incredible, incredible tool that I know most of us, many of us, use regularly in our businesses. And so it's really, really special and a privilege to have Glenn here today to share with us. He's going to focus on how we can use the reporting tools that are available in the software package to help us maximize our time, because I can tell you that it is such a blessing to be able to spin numbers in, you know, different ways so that we don't try to look things up by hand, and that when we do mailings or downline reports, all sorts of things that he's going to take us through, it's going to be a huge, huge time saver. For people who don't know, Glenn and his wife Peggy had actually been jewelers for 20 years, I believe, if I'm remembering that correctly. And they had started when he came in. Remind me again, Glenn, when you actually created the software?
Well, you know, we came in February of 1990, and it was shortly after that I started writing the software.
Fantastic. And I know you're a CPA by trade, so you are a number cruncher, and that's why there's so many tools in our software as well that help to provide tools so that our accounting can be accurate and our taxes, to help us produce our taxes every year. And then Premier Designs actually formally kind of created Business Links, and they have been in a close relationship with Premier since 2005. So that's amazing, just that Premier recognizes Glenn and his efforts in a formal manner to help us with our businesses. So we just appreciate all you do, Glenn. I can tell you, as I mentioned in my note to everybody, that I am always amazed that you have got phenomenal people working with you and working for you, because they can always get right to it, and I have never been disappointed. They have always been able to help me and get me out of a bind. So I've always appreciated that about your business and your company. So thank you for that. And I also want to mention to the folks who are online, if you do not have a version of this software, perhaps you're a new jeweler, you can go to a website, and it's called House, just like house that you live in, F as in Frank, L as in Larry, P as in Paul. So houseflp.com. You can actually download a demo version of this software right now on this call so that you can actually follow along as Glenn is doing his training. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that, we've been blessed to have Glenn's group of trainers with us in the past on Jammies. And so there may be some people out there who are looking for help on other parts of the software, and I completely understand that. We will be focusing the first and most of the call on reporting. So if you need help on any other part of the software and we have time at the end of this call, we'll take some additional questions to fill up that hour at the very end. So if you can just hold your non-reporting questions till the end of the call, that would be great. And then, as I mentioned, you know, Glenn's folks are there to answer questions for you as well during the week, and I'm sure he can address that. But I know that most people are calling into this call tonight to hear about the reporting tools, so we're going to try really hard to just stay on that topic, at least for the first portion of the call. And so we really appreciate your help with that. All right, everybody. Well, Glenn, I'm going to let you take it away, and I'm going to mute myself so that I can hear and follow along myself.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. It's great to be with y'all tonight. You know, as she mentioned, my wife and I heard about Premier in 1990. And when we first heard about it, as a CPA, I said, this is a great marketing plan. And I knew my wife could make money in Premier Designs. She wasn't so sure about it. So to talk her into doing Premier, I told her if she would sell the jewelry, I'd do her paperwork for her. I mean, I'm a CPA. I can do paperwork. Well, you know, back in 1990, you've got to realize every piece of paper was done by hand. That's the whole order form. And then you have the option to either mail or fax the order from here. Well, you know, after about a few weeks of a few weeks of doing these orders, I said, you know, there's a better way to do this, an easier way. And that's when I started writing the Premier Jeweler software. So as you can see, our software was first designed to make entering your orders easier. And many jewelers, you know, buy our software just to do that. Well, that and the calculate hostess half price button. But the beauty of entering orders in our software is that it retains and compiles the data for those orders for you and your business. Now, I would like to talk to you tonight about how to extract and use that data you already have in your software from entering your orders in your business. Now, make sure you're in front of your computer because I want you all to walk through this with me. And anything we do tonight is not going to change any of your data because we're only going to be looking at the reporting part of the software, so you don't have to worry about adding something or deleting or something. It's just going to be the data that's already there. Now, when you open your software, the first thing you see is the calendar displayed in the month view. And to the left of the calendar is the navigation menu bar. The items listed there are also shown on the top of the screen as the menu also, and clicking either one performs the same function. But if you look closely, you'll notice that each item has a letter underlined on it. Now, these underlying letters are known as keyboard shortcuts. You'll see these throughout the software. When you see a keyboard shortcut, this means you can hold down the Alt key on your keyboard and press that letter on the keyboard at the same time. And it's the same thing as pointing your mouse at that item and clicking your left mouse button. So let's try it by going to the Reports page. You can hold down the Alt key and press the letter R. It should switch to the Reports page. Now, the Reports page, you can look at it and you see it's divided into several areas. It has the financial reports, the home show reports, the downline reports, and the list and labels reports. Now, the financial reports box contains reports that would help you prepare your taxes at the end of each year, but they can be used any time during the year to get a report on how you're doing your business. In fact, I've recently talked to some jewelers and gotten some emails from jewelers about how they use these reports on a monthly basis to know how much they're making in their business, to know how much they can pay themselves or how much of their profit they can spend. And we have some things we're going to be changing on that in the future, so just to let those that have been asking about that, we are going to make some changes that will help them out on that also. And right below the financial reports box is the downline reports box, and you can see there's probably nothing in there. Well, you know, when I started writing this new software, we were dividing up how things were going to look on the screen, and we made a whole section just for the downline CV. And so I put all the reports over there on the downline CV area. And I left the box here because I'm thinking I'm probably going to include those links to those reports on the reports page also, so just so that you can get them either place. But I haven't done that yet, so the box is still empty. And the CV reports, we may get time to talk about that later, but we're going to stay on the reports page right now. To the right of the financial reports is the home show box, a report box. There are several reports here that use the data from your past orders. The top two reports, the first one, and at least physically when you look at the screen, the light blue and the green box button, are the last five home shows, and Are You Curious? These are normally used for sponsoring activities. Let's click on the last five home shows, which is the light blue button. And when you do that, a parameter screen pops up. Now, most reports are going to have some kind of parameter screen because it wants to know what part of your data you want to use. In other words, when you do a report, you may not want to include everything you've done for the last 10 years. You may only want to see what you've done recently. Well, since we're looking at the last five home shows, it wants to know when you want to go back from. And the reason for that is that you may have a show you've started to enter in your data, and you haven't completed the show yet. So you wouldn't want to include that show in your report, so you may have to pick a date prior to that date of that order. It also has a place to select the type of date to use. There are two dates that are important on your data for your orders, your home shows. There's the date of the home show, the date it was held, and the date it was sent to Premier. And on this report, you can choose either one you want to use. Well, let's go ahead and click the OK button, and we're going to come to an additional parameter screen. So if you've never seen the Last Five Home Show report, what it does is it compares the profit from your last five home shows to five common part-time jobs. And this option screen here allows you to change the jobs and pay for those jobs to whatever you want it to be. So for your area, you may have different kinds of part-time jobs you want to use and different pay scales that you want to put in there. And if you change the information on the screen, it will retain it the next time you go to use it, so you don't have to come back and change it every time. So if you want to change it to say that in your area, the wages for part-time jobs are really a little higher than this, they're, you know, $8 or $10 an hour, and you want to change that, then you can change it, and it will save it for the next time you use it also. And also, let's go ahead and click OK on here so we can look at the report. If you don't have any data, and if you're using the trial version and haven't put any data in there, you won't see any data here. Don't worry about that. But what it shows is the retail and the profit, and then based on a four-hour show, the hourly rate for your show. And I want you to look along the top of the screen. There's a toolbar along the top of the screen. And so almost all of our reports, whenever you go to use them, they'll do what's called a print preview. And that's what this is a print preview screen. So you can see what it's going to look like on your printer first. And if you want to print it and send it to your printer, there's a printer icon. And if you move your mouse across the toolbar, as you land on one of the icons there, it tells you what that is. So if you point at the printer icon, it'll say print. And just to the right of the printer icon, there's actually the second one over from there. It's called Save Report. It looks like an old diskette that you might use. We don't have any new. That's just a universal symbol for saving, although we don't use diskettes anymore. If you click that Save icon, it's going to bring up the Save Report screen. Now, the Save Report screen is something that you can use in any of our reports that we have. And what's great about this is you can save this report in a format that you can attach to an email and send to a prospect. So if you look down just above the save and cancel button, there's a Save As Type drop-down box. Click on that Save As Type drop-down box, and you have several options there. The one that is used the most is the PDF option. A PDF is a portable data format. And most computers can open this file. It's usually used with Acrobat Reader. So if you send it to somebody and they say you can't open the file, then they may need to download Acrobat Reader to do that. But go ahead and select the PDF document. And then you can type a file name in. You can call it whatever you want. You can say Last Five Home Shows. You can, if you're going to send it to a person, you might want to put their name on it, whatever you want to call it. And then above the file name, it shows the folder it's going to be saved in. Now, most of the time, whenever you go to save a report, it's going to try to go to your documents folder, which is fine. You just want to make sure you know where it's saving it at, because you can save it anywhere you want to. Because later, you're going to have to go find that file to attach it to the email. So go ahead and type the name in, and then click Save. And later, you can go back and open that file and look at it, and you'll see that it looks just like what you see here on the screen, and you can send it to somebody. All right, let's go ahead and close the Last Five Home Shows. The Are You Curious report is similar to the Last Five Home Shows, and we're not going to open that one up, except that it doesn't compare to the other part-time jobs. And it also shows the last 10 home shows. So it's a similar report. It's going to be used for prospecting or to send to a prospect. Now, down towards the bottom of the Home Show report, there's a new one that we've added. We just added this one about 3 months ago, the last four hostesses, and the yellow button there. And it's mainly used to get bookings. And it shows the retail for the show, the number of guests, and the amount of free jewelry the hostess received for these last four home shows. So you could put this in print this out before your home show and put it in your folders so that the guests could see what your last four home shows look like, and it might entice them to become a hostess because of seeing all the free jewelry that that the fire hosts have received. Now we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We're going to look at something that's not really from the data that you entered, but it's something that you can use at your home shows, and that's the purple button called the gift list. Let's go ahead and click on the gift list button. And it's going to bring up a parameter screen. Again, we always have to have a parameter screen to say, well, what do we want to see here? And it asks for the retail range that you want to see on this report. And you can change this to whatever you want to. But let's, for this purpose of this demonstration, let's change the beginning range to $15. And you can do this several ways. You can, there are two little up and down arrows in that field. You can click up and down, and it'll increment by $5 each time you do that. You could also, if you're in that field, the up and down arrow keys on your keyboard will do the same thing. Of course, you don't have to increment by $5. You can put whatever amount you want in there just by typing the amount in. If you wanted $18, you could put $18 in there. And let's change the upper range to $30. Okay, so we have a gift list for the retail range from $15 to $30, and click OK. And you'll see now a something that you can print out and put in your guest folders. Now, a lot of people like to use this, especially around Christmas time, because people are looking to buy gifts at your show, and they may have a price range that they want to stay in. And so they can look down here, and they can see the items are grouped by price, and then there also they shows the item number, the name of the piece, what type of piece it is, whether it's an earring or a ring or a bracelet, and then the page number it's on. So it makes it easy also for them to say, okay, here's one some that are in my price range, and they can flip through the catalog, finding the page number fairly easily, and see the item there to see if that's what they would like. Also, if you go to the left-hand side, you see there it shows the thumbnails of the pages, and there should be two pages on this report. You click on the second page and scroll down to the bottom of the page. The scroll bar would be on the right side of your screen now for that page. You'll see there's also a key to the type of item it is. So if you didn't know what a CC was, well, you can look down here and see, well, that's a class connector. Or an SLP, well, that's a slider or a pendant. So we want you to be able to sure that they let them know that they can see what kind of piece it is also. All right, and again, this is another report, or in all our reports, you can save it as any type of format you want if you wanted to send it to somebody who was looking for a gift. All right, let's close this window. And now I want to click on the charting your progress, which is the maroon button right next to gift list. This report is a detailed listing of orders within a specific date range, and it provides the total retail, total cost of jewelry, and the profit for each order. And it has several parameters here. Of course, again, we have the date range parameter again. And the default date range, if you look at it, is the past 60 days. You can make it whatever you want to, though. So it depends upon what you're wanting to see here. Then, of course, again, we have the date to use. We want the order date or the sent date. You know, if you're looking let's say, the CV for a particular contest that you're in, trying to get Sapphire or something like that, you would want to use the sent date because that's what Premier uses when they receive the order. All right, for this, and then the next thing is what type of orders do you want to use? And we're going to use the home show automatically comes checked as default. Let's go ahead and click the catalog show and the individual show. And these are all orders that you can earn or count as CV towards anything you're trying to earn. And then below that is the listing order. You can change that if you want to, but it's going to be listed by order date by default. All right, let's click the progress button, and it's going to show each order that you had during that time period, showing the order date, and the order number, the transfer date, the hostess name, the total fee that she received, the retail, the cost of the jewelry, and then the fees that you paid, and your profit. for that show. And then, of course, at the bottom, it gives a total for all those things. So that's a great thing to use on any time you need to know how much CV you have. And, in fact, if you haven't noticed, we've also put this same button on your orders page. So if you're on your orders page and you want to see what your CV is, you can click Charting Your Progress. All right, let's close that window. And there's one thing that many people have never see on the screen, and it's in the bottom. This is on the parameter screen. We came back to the parameter screen whenever we closed that report. And if you look in the bottom left corner of the parameter screen, it says Statistics. Click that button. It's going to take the same information we saw on that other screen, but give you the total and then the averages. So if you wanted to know what your average home show is, then you can run that statistics port. Now, right now we have catalog shows and individual orders included in this, so it's probably not something you would want to see averages of. So, but if you wanted to run this report with just home shows, then you could see what your average retail, your average CV, and so on for that time period was. All right, let's close that window right there. And close and cancel on the parameter screen there. There are two more orders here on the home show report. There's the outside orders and the top sellers. Now, the outside orders, if you just click on that real quick, again, we've got the parameter screen. We want to put the dates in that you want to look at the reports and say, okay. It doesn't bring up a print preview like we saw before. It brings up a screen or a selection screen. Because it's going to show you all of the orders that you had marked as outside orders on your home shows. And it lists the customer and what they purchased down below. So on the screen, if the top part of the screen shows the customer, the order number, and the total retail from there. But below there, in the bottom left quadrant of the screen, it lists the individual items that they purchased. And then on the right half of the screen, it shows their personal information. So if you're wanting to make calls to outside orders, let's say that you want to thank them for ordering and let them know that the hostess got so much intrigued jewelry, and would you like to consider having a home show? You have all the information there on one screen where you can do that for each customer. So as you click on a customer, the information on the screen changes to that person's orders at the bottom, and the name information on the right side. And then, of course, along the top, you can print this information. If you do the phone list, it's going to print everything you see on the screen. And, of course, you can do labels, and there's also email addresses that you can copy into your email program. I'm not going to show you the labels and the phone list right now, because in the second half of our call, we're going to go into details on how to use labels and phone lists, because we've made a lot of changes in the new software where you can customize those. And I think you're going to like to hear about that. Let's go ahead and close this outside order screen. And the other screen is the top sellers. And that's great to use if you want to know what your top selling items are. And Premier provides you with what they're selling the most of. Maybe you want to see what you're selling the most of, because that may be different. And that way you can keep your items that you have on your table current to what you're selling the most of. All right, Barbara, why don't we take a break here and let people ask us some questions about the home show reports that we've been talking about so far, if they have any questions.
Okay, that sounds good. Those are fabulous tools, too. Some of those I've used. I love them all. All right. Does anybody have a question? You'll press star 6, state your name and where you're from, and just your first name. And then you can have a chance to ask one anything you'd like.
I must have done a great job of explaining that.
It was great. It was very detailed, so that's terrific. All right, let's take it away.
All right. We're going to move on down on the screen. We're still, if you're still on the report screen, And if you look down, the last thing on there is the list and labels. And we've made a lot of changes here. You know, it used to be, you know, you could, the list and the phone list were static. And what I mean by static is that you couldn't change them. You know, we provided a standard format that would print out for you. But we're going to show you how you can customize these lists and these labels right now. There are several types of lists and labels here. And the first, we're going to look mostly at one that you probably use a lot if you knew how to use it. And that's the customers. And that's the light blue button, the first one there in the list and labels. Go ahead and click on that. And what you should see whenever that opens up is a list of all of your customers. And if you look at that list and that grid right there, it has all their information. And over on the left-hand side, there's one extra column there. And at the top of the column, it says SEL or select. And in the column is a checkbox. And that means you can select people you want to put in this report. And you can do that. Just go over there and you click on any one of them you want. And when you click in that little box, it gives a little check in there, and it gives a yellow or highlights their name in yellow so that you can tell that they've been selected. But that's, you know, if you had the software for several years, you've got a lot of customers here. And normally you're not going to want to go through and try to remember or figure out who to check for these that you want to send an invitation to or call on a phone list. So we put some extra things in here to help you narrow down who you want to select. You look at the top of the screen, there are three colored bars, an aqua bar, a maroon bar, and a green bar. And those are what we would call selection parameters. I'm going to look at the first one, which is the mark customers by purchases made. If you hit the little drop-down arrow, there's a little triangle over on the right-hand side. If you hit that, it will drop down a little window. And here's our parameters for picking the people we would like to send an invitation to or to put on our phone list. Again, we have the date range because we want to know when these customers made these purchases. So you're going to put whatever date range you want to. Let's do it this way. Let's go back to the first of this year. And we want to see who our best customers are since January, all right? And that's where, let's say we're going to have a sample sale, but we want to invite our best customers to it. Or we're having some kind of a brunch or something to invite our best customers to, so maybe we can talk to them about hosting a show or even sponsoring. And so what she'll do is the beginning date range, we'll change that back to January 1st of 2010. And there are several ways to do that. You know, if you hit the little drop-down arrow, a calendar will pop up and you can scroll back. Or you can actually just type the 1/1/2010 in there. You can do it either way. Of course, any date will be the same. And then the next two things are the number of items purchased and the amount of purchases. Now, these are things you can use one or the other or both. And what we're going to do, let's say we only want to have customers that have purchased more than $100 from us this year. So we're going to take the amount of purchases and increase that to $100. So the number of items purchased, I don't care how many items they purchased, as long as they purchased $100 or more. And then we're going to include the hostess free. There's a little checkbox right below the amount purchases that says include hostess free because we want to include our hostesses on this call, so we want to invite them to this. So now we've got our parameters set, and there's a button that says mark by purchases. So in other words, mark our customers by these parameters we set up. So if we click that mark by purchases, it's going to go down. You'll see a little progress bar go across, and it's going to go down, and it's going to mark all of those customers that have bought more than $100 from us this year. And if you have a lot of jewelers, a lot of customers, the first screen may not show anybody on there like mine just did. And you may have to scroll down to see some of the customers that are marked. But we do have some marked. So now let's say that we want to send out or mail out an invitation to these people. So we want to create labels to put on our invitation. And if you look to the right of that parameter screen, there are about four buttons lined up there. Labels, Evite file, and phone list, and email address. We're going to click on labels. That's what we're going to do first here. And it's going to bring up a label parameter screen. Now what that does, it lets you customize how you want your label to look. And if you look in the very top left corner of this little parameters window, it shows a white area with a Mary Jane Doe and an address there. Well, that's a sample of what each label is going to look like. Okay? Just to the right of that sample is four parameters. Use all capital letters. So let's say that you wanted to have all caps on your addresses. And some people like to do that. In fact, I've heard that the post office likes you to use all caps. It makes it easier for them. But some people want it to look nice and want it to be mixed case, so you can do it either way. If you put a check in the box, it'll make everything all caps. If you take the check out, it'll return it to mixed case. Then we have the starting label parameter. So let's say that you've been using labels to print things, and you've got a page that is partially used, and you want to reuse that. Well, our labels, when we print them in our software, we print in columnar format. In other words, it starts at the first column, goes all the way down, goes up to the second column, goes all the way down, and the third column goes all the way down. So if you wanted, you'd use the first column and maybe the top two on the next column. These are 32 a page labels, by the way. So you wanted to use that page. Well, you could say, I want to start on label number 13. Because the first 10 were already used, and the top two at the second column were used, so the next one would be 13. But most of the time, you're probably going to start on label 1, and that's what the default is. And we have a top margin and a line spacing. The top margin adjustment is to help you in case the labels don't quite line up on the page, and you need to move them down or move them up. It'll move the entire print of the label up or down the page. If you increase the number on the top margin adjustment, it moves the print down on the page. If you decrease the number, it moves the print up on the page. And then the line spacing has to do with how close together the lines on the label are. In a minute, you'll see how we can change the font. And so if you went to a larger font, you may need to change the line spacing so that the font doesn't overlap. And then there's one more thing further down the parameter screen on that same side. It says, alternate line, and right above in red it says do not use. Well, the do not use may be misleading in red, but we had to kind of let people know that the check in the box means it's not going to use the alternate line of address. If you look behind the parameter screen, you'll see the customers there, and it says last name, first name, address, and then optional line address, or optional address line. And that's our third line on a label if you want to use it. So if you take the check out of the box, and you can go ahead and do it, and you take the check out of the box, you'll look at the sample up there. It puts that alternate line in there. And you can use that optional address line. But for most people, they don't use that, so we make the default on that as checked. But like you see, you can use that. And then to the left of that alternate line, we have a space for each line on the label where you can adjust the font and the alignment. If you look at we'll look at label line 1. There are three small buttons, and if you roll your mouse over, and it'll tell you what they are. There's a left justified, a centered, and a right justified. So you can adjust which side of the label you want the print to appear or print centered. And let's go ahead and do that. Let's make all of the lines centered. So you can click the centered button on lines 1, line 2, and line 4. And it moved all the print over to the center of the label. Then the other thing is you can change the font. So we're going to change the label line 1 font, and you see there's a big font button there. You can click on that. It just brings up a font screen where you can change the font. You can change the font style or the size. And let's make this a bold italic and change it from a size 10 to a size 12. And you can even change the color. We'll change it to a blue. And then we'll say OK on the font. And you'll see it changed it on the sample, too. So that's what our labels are going to look like when we print them. And then once you have that looking like you want to, all you do is click OK. And it's going to do a print preview again, showing you the labels that you want to send out your customers to. All right. So and then, of course, to print this to your printer, you would hit the printer icon. All right, we'll close that, and when you close it, it comes back to the labels parameter screen. So in case it didn't look just like you wanted it to, or you say you printed a test page and it didn't line up like you wanted it to, you can change these parameters and try again and keep trying until you get the way you want to. And we do always suggest that you print the labels to plain paper first if you've never done it before, and then hold that plain paper up to your labels to see how it lines up. Because labels are kind of expensive. And if it doesn't line up, you can waste a page or two of labels trying to get it to line up. So use plain paper in trying to get it to line up correctly. All right, go ahead and click cancel on the label parameter screen. And we still have all those people marked. So we've got the labels to send them the invitation. Let's make a phone list for after we send the invitations to, where we can call them. So click the phone list button. It's the third button down underneath labels. And we're going to come up with another parameter screen. And this is one of the things we did too, where you can adjust the reports the way you want to. At the top, you can see we have an orientation. You can do portrait, which is where it's 8.5 across and 11 down. Or you can do landscape, which is turn it the other way, where it's the wide part of the paper is Okay. And then right below there, it has, again, this is just like a label. We have a sample of what it's going to look like. And it shows the fields that are going to be on the screen. And this is what it comes up right now as default. It has the name, phone number, email addresses, and all that kind of stuff. But what we're going to do is we only want the phone numbers because we're just going to be calling these people. And so we want to customize this list. So if you look down below there, below the sample, there are two boxes there, fields available and fields used. And the fields used box, if you look down below there, it says double click to delete. What that, it doesn't delete the field. What it does, it takes it off the sample or out of the fields used box and moves it back over to the fields available box. So we don't want the email address, so let's double click on the email address. And we don't need the address, so we'll double-click on the address. And we don't need the email, too. This is the second email address that they have, too. And we'll double-click on that and delete that. And we don't need the city-state zip. So we'll double-click on that. So we also have the account purchase because we did that. And you can leave that on if you want to. But it doesn't quite look right, does it? Because it has the full name and then the phone number, and then the next line it has a cell phone number, and then the work phone, which is moved over a little bit, so it doesn't quite look right. What you notice in the fields used box, we have some things called spacers and line breaks. So we can move things around, or we can delete some of those spacers and line breaks to make the report look like what we want to. In fact, what we want to do here, let's just go ahead and delete all of the spacers. So if you see a spacer in the fields used, just double-click on it. It's going to delete those spacers as we double-click on them. And right now we have the full name on the first line and the phone number on the first line, and the next line is a cell phone, and then the third line is a work phone number and in-out purchase. So let's move the cell phone and the work phone up to that first line, so they'll all be right across on the first line. And the way we do that is we delete the line breaks. If you see a line break, double-click on the line break, and it gets rid of those. And move that amount purchased up there, and it's off the page. So we don't want that to happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to move it down and to the next line. And the way we do that is by adding a line break. So there's right between the fields used and the fields available, there's an add line break button. So click on the Add Line Break button, and it puts it on the Fields Used screen. Well, it's not where we need it, though, because it's at the end. So what we'll do is we'll click on the line break one time, that highlights it, And then to the right of the field fuse box, there's a move up button. If we click that move up button, it moves the line break up, puts the amounts purchased on the next line. And that makes it more what we want to see. But let's say that we also want to see the notes we've written on each customer. So sometimes we may make notes, you know, they like gold or they like silver or whatever. And so if you look in the fields available box, there is the notes field. So in depth below the fields available, it says double click to use it. So we're going to double click on notes, and it puts it over there in the fields use box. So now we have what we want to see when we call the customer. We have their name, the phone numbers for us to call them, how much they purchased since January, and any notes that we would have. And then, so at the top left corner, there's a print button, and we're going to click print, and it's going to bring up that information. And we can print it by clicking print the printer icon or save it, whatever you need to do with it. So go ahead and click close on that. And it takes us back to the parameter screen. In case it didn't look like we wanted it to, we can move some things around to make it look better. And there are several other reports we have that use this fields available and fields used box. So I wanted to go over that with y'all so y'all could see how that works. Because if you go to another report, you'll see this and wonder, well, how am I supposed to make this look like I want it to, or if I want to change it? That's how you do it, the fields used and the fields available. And then you can move things around by using the move up, move down, add spacer. The spacer, and if you look right above the add spacer button, we have a 15 there. You can increase or decrease the length of spacer, so if you can make it move things around more. And then also the line height we have again in case you want to use a different font. And speaking of font, you can change the fonts in these fields you're using also. If you look at the fields used, you can right-click on any one of the fields, and it comes up, and the menu comes up, and it says Change Font. And when you left-click on that Change Font, it's going to bring up the font screen where you can change the font size, change the type, anything you want to, change the color if you want to. So you go ahead and close the font screen if you want to. And if you look just to the right of the fields use box or something, it says use the same fonts for all fields. And right now it's checked. So if you went and right clicked on full name and said change font, whatever you change the font to, it's going to do it for all of the other fields also. So if you want one to be different, you'd want to take the check out of that box and right click on that field and change the font for that field. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and close the list parameter screen. And we're back at our customer selection screen. And there are two more buttons that we haven't talked about, and I'm just going to briefly go over them. That's the Evite file. If you ever use Evite, there's a way to upload the name and email address to your Evite. And this will create a file that is compatible with the Evite files. Then the fourth button is the email address button. I still have plans to put an email client in our software. And by email client, what that means is that you'll be able to send email directly from our software and do things like mail merge and stuff like that with your data. And that's still on my to-do list. For right now, if you want to send your customers an email, what you would do is, of course, we've already selected these customers here that are already selected. And if you click the email address button, it opens up a small window at the bottom of your screen. And it lists all the email addresses for the customers that have email addresses in that screen. It lists 20 email addresses per row. And the reason we did this is there are some email services that don't let you put more than 20 email addresses into the tube or CC box. And so we split them out into 20 at a time, and you can copy those out and paste them into your email to address. Now, there's a button right there. It says copy first row to clipboard and delete. So if, instead of highlighting and copying, if you want to just click that copy first row to clipboard and delete, it will copy all those email addresses in that first row and delete them from this screen right here so you won't reuse them again. And then open your email address, email software and paste it into your address field. Most of the time, you would probably want to do it in the BCC field, which is the blind carbon copy field, because you don't want to send all of the email addresses from your customers to the other customer. That's just something that people don't like to do. So if you want, a lot of your customers may want to keep their email address private from other people. But if you're, let's say that your email client or email company, the company you use for your emails allows you to do more than 20 per email. Well, you can physically highlight all those email addresses with your mouse. And the way you would do that is you would go to the front, the very first one on the left, and click there and then hold down your mouse, left mouse button, and drag it across to the bottom to the last email address, and it will highlight all of them. And then you could do a control C for copy, and that would copy all those addresses to your clipboard. Open up your email software and start your email, and then do a paste into your BCC, and that would put all of the addresses in there. So that's a brief summary of what we can do with the customer list section. I didn't go over some other things. If you go back up to the top where we had the mark customers, my purchases made, again, if you hit that little triangle in the right corner, that will close that window. You can also select customers by customer categories or by birth date or anniversary. So that's a great way to do that, to mark the customers. All right, that's probably a good place to stop here and get any questions that we need to have.
Great. Thank you so much. I love that customization. That's awesome. All right. Does anybody have a question for Glenn? Just press star 6 and let us know where you're from.
Lynette, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The question I have for you, Glenn, is what is the default size of the labels that you have?
Okay, the default, if you buy the Avery labels that are 30 to a page, and I can't remember the exact inches per size, but they come 10 down and 3 across, and they're a standard address label. That's what we use.
Thank you.
Glenn?
Yes.
Okay, this is Marcia Cohn from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I was following along with you and with the markdown, mark customers by purchase date and things like that. Now I've tried to go back, click on maybe one customer, and I get a little error message that says data set not in edit or insert mode, native error.
Huh. No, I'm not sure because I'm clicking on several customers right now and not getting that error. I'll tell you what, you know, anytime you have some error like that, what we tell you to do is go ahead and just close the software, reopen it, and come back in and see if we still get that error.
Okay, great.
Because what we need to do whenever we have errors, in fact, this is a good thing to talk about. If you do run into an error that you're able to repeat where you can do it over and over and get the same error, we need to know about those so we can resolve what the problem is. And if we can replicate it, we can solve the problem.
All right. And how do I get back to the conference call?
Oh, star 6 again.
Thank you.
Thank you. No problem. And on a similar note, Glenn, I remember before I had upgraded the software, I used to re-index whenever I hit an issue. Is that still something that's important to do, or is the new software different?
Well, actually, the new software doesn't have a re-index function. In the old software, we had something that was called re-index that would realign the data files to make sure that the software knew where everything was. Well, when we wrote the new software, we're using a different database. It's a self-healing database. And what happens is, if it recognizes that there's an index that is out of the line, it should automatically heal itself and correct that. We do have on the maintenance tab two things. It's called repair database and to compress database. And you can use those anytime you want to. If for some reason you're getting some errors and we can't replicate it or something and it's happening a lot, you can run the repair database just in case there's something that the self-healing part's not doing. And then, of course, as you use your software and if you delete some data and stuff like that, it leaves what's called holes in the data and makes your data file a little bit bigger. And the compressed database gets rid of those holes and makes things run a little faster and makes the data file smaller.
Gotcha. All right. Terrific. Does anybody have a question?
Hi, Glenn. This is Carol calling from Eastern Pennsylvania. First,
Hi.
I want to thank you for your software. It's awesome. I would be so lost without it.
Thank you.
The thing I wanted to ask you about, last time we paused for questions, we were just getting to the home show report box and talking about top sellers. And when I had first looked at that, I was very confused on what it was about. And now, since we've done the customer phone list, I understand how to navigate that. But I have to tell you, I just went back and did it, and it pulled up a report of my top, I'm assuming it's my top 25 items sold from all of my home shows. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Because it's calling up, like my highest selling item is the Magnolia ring, and I don't think I've sold any of them yet. So I'm just wondering, is there a possibility of this? I don't know. It doesn't look, honestly, it doesn't look like what I would think my top 25 would be. How could I verify this?
Let's see what we can do. There's another report we can run. If you go back to the reports and list and labels, there's a jewelry sold. You see down there, and you can go down there and pick that particular item, and again,
okay.
Put your date range in, and you can run a list for that particular item to see how many people you sold that item to.
Okay. I guess this would also pick up any of the sample orders. No, we didn't do sample orders for the rally to put out, so that wouldn't count. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to go back and check it. I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding the report, and
yeah,
I don't know if you have.
And if for some reason, it doesn't look like. Give our office a call, and let me give that number in case anybody needs that. Our office number is 888-328-4202. It's a toll-free number, and if you have problems or need help with our software, please give us a call.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, any other questions? Do you have any others that you'd like to go through, Glenn? Or do you want to take other questions?
Well, somebody had asked me a question earlier. This is kind of relevant since it just started, about the ProPay option with Premier and how that works. What happens is ProPay arranged with Premier where you can transfer some of your funds from your ProPay account directly over to Premier. And once you do that, those funds are available to when you send your orders to Premier to pay for those orders. And you can do that with our software. And what will happen is you'll go through the send to Premier like you always do in our software, but when it comes to the copy and paste screen, if you have funds available, it'll show you those funds for ProPay, and it'll ask you, do you want to use those funds? And if you put the check in the box that you want to use those ProPay funds, then it'll ask you, of course, how much of the funds you want to use. And when you process the order, what will happen, let's use a simple example. Let's say that you had a home show that the amount you're sending, this shows the amount you owe Premier is $300. and you get to the ProPay, get to the copy and paste screen, and ProPay says you have $200 in your ProPay account. Well, you can say, yes, I want to use my ProPay account, and it'll ask you how much. You can use the whole $200, or you use $100, whatever you want to use. And let's say you use $200. And so when you process the order, what's going to happen is they're going to use $200 from ProPay and then still charge your credit card the balance, which would be $100 in this case. Okay, and then it's all taken care of on Premier's end as far as that's concerned. We're working on, haven't got it complete yet, whenever you mark how you paid for the jewelry after you send it, or the orders where you send it, where you can put that you use part for ProPay, or if you use the jeweler account credit, or whatever you use, if you use that, some other kind of payment besides your credit card. And that's not complete yet, so we'll let you know by our newsletter when that's done and how to do that.
Okay, that would be helpful. That's great. All right. Did that answer? I apologize. I can't remember who asked that ProPay question very early before we even got started. Did that answer your questions on that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, terrific. All right, any other questions either on reporting or anything else that you'd like to ask Glenn while you have a chance?
It's Lynette from Indiana. I just want to let you know that it's 1 inch by 2 5/8 for your reference because I just tried it.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
It was 1 inch by 2 5/8 for everybody.
Okay.
Just for reference. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
This is Judy from Atlanta.
Hi, Judy.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Judy. Hi.
Okay. Glenn, there is a, under lists and labels, there is a yellow button that says multiple labels.
Yes.
What is that?
You know, sometimes you just need to print a label. Let's say, okay, my wife uses this for printing labels for her catalog. So, you know, sometimes, especially those catalogs, they cost a lot. She wants to put on there a label that says, please return the jeweler. So she wants to print 30 labels that say the same thing. And that's what that is. You can, if you click on the, that label, it brings up a sample, and you can type whatever you want to into that label and change the font, center it, and all that kind of stuff, and print out labels for that. And you can also do that in the 30 to a page size or the 80 to a page size. And in fact, if you click on that yellow button that says multiple labels, there it says the 30 to a page are 1 by 2 5/8, and the 80 to a page are 1/2 inch by 1 3/4 inch labels. So what the multi-label is just a, when you want a whole bunch of the same thing on a label, you can use that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great. I use that one a lot, I can tell you. Okay. Any other questions? All right, Glenn, did you have anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot I'd like to share, but I don't have enough time.
I know. So many options on here.
Yeah.
Well, if you're willing, we'll have you again, and we can keep going.
I'd love to.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much. I know it's Sunday night there, and a lot of people are starting school tomorrow, so we really just appreciate your being on with us this week. I know that there's, like you said, so much that we can do on training for this software. So we'll just make you a regular and we'll get through it all.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much, Glenn. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
All right.